Touch that neighbor next to you. Tell him you need to learn how to make a decision. You know, as I was pondering this thought for today, I was thinking about how many people are stagnant because they won't make a decision. And the reality is that to not make a decision is to make a decision. When you decide not to make a decision, you've decided to maintain your position in the status quo. Because nothing's going to change until you change. And there are a lot of folk who are sitting around waiting for God to just miraculously drop something out of the air that will shift your circumstances when God has given you the power of choice. You know, those of us in here, and I did say us so nobody can get offended, I'm included in the number. Those of us in here that are overweight, it's not because of McDonald's. It's because we choose to go sit up in McDonald's. McDonald's ain't put no gun on you and me and make us go eat those Big Macs. Touch your neighbor, tell them you made a decision. How many folk are in abusive relationships? Someone reached out to me this week in an abusive, in a purely abusive relationship, and telling me something about they gonna take their time and use baby steps to get out of it. I said, well, if you were in a building and the building were burning down, would you want to take baby steps to get out the burning building? You're going to jump out of the first exit you can find and separate yourself from that situation. But life boils down to decisions. And all of us in here are the consequence of our own choices. Yeah. Now, we'd like to blame our condition and our position on someone else. You know, like a lot of y'all say, well, I'm in this condition because my parents weren't the best. You may not be responsible for your history, but you're totally responsible for your destiny. I can't control what I couldn't control, but I can certainly control what's in front of me. When you look at those lepers that were standing outside of the gate, they couldn't go home because they were lepers. They were considered unclean. And they would have been stoned on sight had they re-entered the city. And besides, in their city, there was a famine anyway. Everybody in there was starving. And they're on the outside of the gate starving and sick. And then somebody says, well, you know, the enemy is right over there, and we can go throw ourselves on their mercy. And, you know, all the worst thing that can happen to us is that they kill us. We're dying anyway. The best thing that can happen is that they take us in and make us prisoners and give us a little bread and water. And they got up and they made the decision. Everybody say decision. They made the decision to move from where they were and to go to the enemy's camp. And when they got there, everybody say, when they got there. When they got there, they discovered that God had already run the enemy off, scared the enemy, and the enemy left the camp, the food, the wealth, everything, just left it laid out. They were just laid out. But watch this, the beautiful thing about that text is that they never would have discovered the miraculous handiwork of God had they not made a decision to move from where they were. And I'm here to tell you that some of you all are missing the miracles of God because you won't make a decision in your own life. What is a decision? It is a judgment. It's a conclusion, a resolution reached. It's a verdict on the matter. It's the act of making up one's mind. The late Eleanor Roosevelt said one's philosophy, listen to this. She said one's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die. And the choices we make are ultimately our responsibility. I like what she says. One's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes. Now, that's great to understand, especially in terms of relationships. People don't feel about you the way they say they feel about you. People feel about you the way they treat you. I can tell you all day long I love you. But if I don't treat you right, if I choose to mistreat you, my choices are the best reflection of my heart. So in Deuteronomy 11, the Lord lays out something very plainly for us. In Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 and 27, touch your neighbor, tell him he won't be long today. Don't have to be long to be strong, does it? Deuteronomy 11, 26 and 27 says, behold, I like this. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And you know, you read the context, a curse if you don't. But what is he saying? The choice is yours. And every one of us sitting in this room today, we have set before us a blessing and a curse based on our choices. Now, I want to ask you something. How are you choosing? Because your entire life is hinged to your choices. You know, like some of you all are getting... What is it? Your income tax back. Some of y'all getting your income tax back. And I want to ask you, you know, what are you choosing? What kind of decisions are you going to make with that money? You know, we're just talking, just had a conversation not long ago about a person that just got a whole lot of Gucci and a whole lot of Louis Vuitton, bad credit, don't own no house, no property. You got all these labels and no value. Because of what? Decisions. And I'm here to tell you that some of y'all sitting here looking at me today, I can feel it in my spirit. Some of y'all sitting in here looking at me today, you are miserable. Because of the choices you've made. God has set before you blessing and a curse. And you keep choosing the curse. I don't mean to just turn this into no relationship thing, but while I'm on it, I may as well talk about it. I get so tired of women that just keep on choosing poison. And then want to keep tying my time up with. I ain't got time to keep counseling you. And every time a good man come around, you don't want nothing to do with him. And every man walking with a dog collar on, you running behind him. baby, you're living based on the consequences of your choices. You keep on laying down with dogs and asking me why you got fleas. It's your decisions. And one thing I'm working on is I'm working on my decisions. See, when you begin to work on your decisions, you stop blaming the world for your situation. Y'all blaming Donald Trump. Donald Trump ain't the one gonna take all your income tax money and go out there and act a fool in the mall with it. That's you doing that. You getting older, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got no value, you don't own nothing. You ain't got no retirement, you don't even have a savings. Because of the decisions you're making. And you're wondering why your life keeps dragging the bottom. It's because you're blaming it on the devil. Even the devil. I even feel sorry for the devil because y'all blaming the devil for a whole lot of stuff he ain't got nothing to do with. You are the consequence of your decision. They don't like me no more now. They don't like me no more now. Praise the Lord. Number one, four things I want to leave with you, then I'm out of here. Of course, just to lay a foundation before I get into this, of course, you know, when you start talking about decisions, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, you know. Y'all know about that, don't you? Yeah, I guess that should have been point number one, actually, because a lot of y'all making these decisions before you even talk to God. You ain't prayed about nothing. But number one, never decide before you get all of the facts. Never decide before you get all of the facts. And I think I shared this with you last week or week before, one of the greatest lessons I learned from my father was to say, let me pray about it. Let me think about it. Because you need some time to gather, everybody say, my facts. How many of y'all have ever had a situation that in the spur of the moment it looked perfect? But when you got through combing through that thing, you discovered that had you run off with this thing, it could have destroyed everything, God. Everybody say, I got to get all my facts. Proverbs 18:13 says, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. See, you don't even make decisions based on how you feel about people until you've gotten all the facts. Some of y'all sitting up in here right now don't like folk because somebody else told you. You haven't had one conversation with the people yourself. You don't know the people. You just listening to what somebody else told you. Somebody told them. And then you've made a big old crazy decision that you don't want nothing to do with that individual when the person that came and told you all that stuff about them has added nothing to your life. And God brought the person that they messed your mind up about into your life to be a blessing to you, but you've made your move too soon. Never decide before you get all of the facts. You have to be a fact checker. Folk will come to you and they'll tell you, oh, you can get rich. You can get rich. You can get rich. Let me show you. This is how much money I'm making right now. You can get rich. They'll tell you, oh, you can get rich. Come on, just sign this right here. All it's going to cost you is $1,250. And you can get rich. It's going to cost me. You got to Google that thing, man. You got to go and fact check that thing because you need to know what's beneath this. What are the facts concerning this situation before I make a what? Decision. You know that you're in the vicinity of wisdom when you begin to live your life in a way that you're slow to make decisions. And that you check a thing out before you run with it. I don't care how good it makes me feel. There are a whole lot of things that make me feel emotional. That when I really put my spirit to it and I really put my mind to it are not good for me. Yeah. Proverbs 18:17 says, the first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. Y'all remember when the two women came with one baby to Solomon? And they woke claiming the same child. The reality is that one of them, baby died. And so in her grief, she wanted to take the other woman's baby. And so they both were claiming the same child. And they were both crying. And Solomon was sitting there judging between the two. Which one of these is the real mother? And then Solomon says, okay, get a sword. I'm paraphrasing. Cut the baby in half. Give her half and give her half. The real mother said, no, 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 no. Let her have the baby. The fake mother said, yeah, cut him in half. And Solomon said, give the baby to her. Everybody seems up and up until somebody examines. You got to learn, especially in these relationships, to start examining people before you sit them at your table. You examine them, you will discover that you got a devil on your hand. Everybody say, I need the facts. Number two, never let the pressure of time force you into premature choices. See? You know, folk just rush you. We got to do it today. Yeah, you got to do it today. You go somewhere, they're selling something. Only today. Only today, huh? Well, I don't buy like that, bud. You can keep that. You can go out right now, go try to buy a house. They're going to tell you, oh, we got 5 different contracts on it right now. Mm-mm. You don't make decisions in a rush. Touch your neighbor, tell them, don't make decisions in a rush. You're young folk, that's how folk get over on you. Make you feel like you're going to miss it if you don't do it right now. Sign right here. No, 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 no. You definitely don't sign nothing. Don't sign nothing. No, 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 no. Take your time, babe. My daddy used to say, they got another deal coming. How you be trying to convince? Dad, it's the last one. It's the last one, huh? Babe, they ain't stop making them. Relax yourself. They got another one coming. You ain't rushing into that. No, no. Sit down, babe. That's what he tells you. Sit down, babe. Boy, I be hot as a 6-shooter. Sit down, babe. Sit down. I remember when I was getting ready to buy my first little house. I had a little house I wanted. And we were going to see the house. My dad was coming with me. And the man that owned the house died in the house the day we were going to see it. And boy, I want that house so bad. And Dad said, well, babe, we ain't going back there. Yeah, you forget about that one, babe. The Lord has spoken. That's a dead deal right there. We ain't going back to that one, babe. Oh, boy, I was so upset. You know, I said, oh, Lord, man, I want that house so bad. We ain't going back to that one. Just relax yourself, boy. The Lord ain't stopped building houses. And boy, lo and behold, just like that old man told me that, I don't think it was a month later, they had a house that was twice the house of that one. I mean, not even a comparison. And walk right on in there, and I think it was cheaper than the house that I was. Because you don't make decisions in a hurry. Touch your neighbor. This got to sink in. Touch him. Tell him, never make decisions in a hurry. Don't make major decisions in a hurry. Yeah, like you just meet somebody. I don't care how fine they are, how much they love God and speak in tongues and prophesy. You don't let them people rush you into no marriage. You need time to examine this individual. You need to discern this person. You need to watch this person. You need to look at them for a little while. This could be plastic. I need to know that this is real. Touch your neighbor, tell him he's talking today. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. You got a few things you need to be conscious of. Number one, be aware of the once in a lifetime deal. Ain't no more like this. Number two, don't let the fear of missing out drive your decision. Number three, when in doubt, leave it out. All right, main point number three. I only have four. Never allow your ego to drive your choices. Never allow your ego to drive your choices. Somebody said ego is an acronym for EGO, edging God out. And see, there are a lot of us in here today who have made choices based on our ego. You allowed your ego to drive your choices. And what happens with your ego many times is that your ego overrides your common sense. Your ego is more concerned with, watch this, how you look. Ego is more concerned with style than it is substance. So you got a little man, he 4.5 feet tall, and he 3 feet wide. But he work every day. He love God. He open doors for you. He buy you whatever you need and whatever you want. He's a praying little man. He's a prophesying little man. Come on, somebody. He ain't got much hair, but he grease a little bit he got. All right, my mama hurt my ego so bad the other day. I'm driving her and I'm just combing my hair. And I'm noticing she looking upside my head. I look at her, she say, you're combing that little hair, huh? Woo, boy, my mama knows she got razor blades and lemon juice coming out her mouth, boy. Good God, I say, you're combing your little hair, huh? But you got the little man that he love God, love you, working, bringing home money, going to provide a future, going to take care of the children. And then you get a 6.5 foot tall joker. He's 5 feet wide at the chest. 26 inch waist. He dread it out, braid it out. Got all his edges right and don't want work on nobody's job. You can put a gun on him, can't get him to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. Gonna call you everything but your name. And that's the one you want, because your ego has you more concerned with how you look than how you really are. Huh? Boy, I remember it's amazing how you look back on life. It's amazing how when you look back on life, how you see the error of your ways. You know, if we would just take some time to just look back and look over some of the foolish decisions we've made, it would be more than enough supply of wisdom for the present moment. Yeah, I was a young man, and I wanted this 300 ZX. Some of y'all remember when I had that. And you know, you got to get way down to get in that car. Yeah, way down to get in there. And so I had this 300 ZX, man. It was pretty. Ooh, that was a pretty car. Ooh, that was a pretty car. Everywhere you know, people look at, ooh, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. But man, every time I had to get up out of that car, I got to pull myself up out of that car. And man, my muscles in my back. It wasn't practical. My daddy said, son, you sure you want that? You don't want something a little more conservative than that? No. I want this right here, Dad. This is what I want. But that was my ego talking. 6 months into that thing, I was trying to figure out if I could give this thing away to somebody. Let me get me a truck or something. My God, this was too much. But it was everybody said it was my ego. See, but you never allow your ego to drive your choices. Because Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Proverbs 20:9 says, who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? You got to weigh your motivation. And you must never allow your ego to drive your choices. You know, ego has caused husbands to leave good wives. Ego's caused women to leave good husbands. All right, number four, and I'm done. Never let your common sense override your faith. There are some things that God is just going to endorse in your spirit. Touch your neighbor, tell him, faith doesn't make sense. Y'all see it over there? But it does make what? There are some things that you're going to do all your fact checking. You're going to check all of your motives. You're going to do all of that. And you're still going to have a witness in your spirit that this is the direction God would have me to go in. And when you get to that place, never allow your common sense to override your faith. Because now God is trying to show you something that only He can do in your life. Come on, somebody. This won't be the work of your intellect. It won't be the work of your education. This will be the handiwork of God. And so now you gotta learn to yield to your faith and not your common sense. What does 2 Corinthians 5:7 say? For we walk by faith and not by sight. Some choices are gonna be faith driven. Now watch this. When you get down to these faith driven choices, everybody's not going to understand it. That's why when you get to a place where you're moving by faith, a lot of times you got to learn to keep it to yourself. Because you share that thing with people and they'll abort. Because they can't get what you got, because they can't see what you see, because God didn't give it to them. God deposited it into you. And so some moves, when they're faith moves, you got to make them quietly and let people see it. Hallelujah. Let them see the manifestation of it. Say, so when you started, praise the Lord. Because if you share it with folk who don't have your faith, they'll have you scratching your head wondering. Come on, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. See, our Baton Rouge church, which is in terms of footage, it is the biggest facility we have. That's a big facility. It's a big campus there. And my daddy was in his
late 60s, going out there buying that big old place. And I said, Daddy, listen, you don't need to do that. I can't help you. You know, I'm stretched out. I got more than I can help. Sam can't help you. He's stretched out. He got more. You almost 70 years old. Why would you go out there and buy 100-some thousand square foot facility in another? Well, I'm going to do it. And when he go talking like that, then I know, you know, it's just time to go on and agree with him now. I say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Whatever you say, and I'm going to be here to do whatever you tell me to do. I know you are. I know so well you are. And I mean, I don't want to hear no more of that, babe. You can't agree with me, just shut your mouth up. I said, okay, praise the Lord. See, well, then I knew he was in the spirit, you know. See, when he go talking like that, I know he in the Holy Ghost. So now it's just time me back up and just, you know, stay in agreement, be obedient, do whatever he need me to do, and watch God. I'm still sitting there looking, you know. They're putting this thing together, and boy, lo and behold, he done made the decision to do this here. Lo and behold, the day we go to dedicate it, the Sunday evening we go to dedicate it, it's raining, raining, raining. And the church packed. We out there dedicating this new place this Sunday night. The following Sunday, Katrina wiped out all of our churches. And the only facility we had standing was Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Because when God is leading you to make a decision based on your faith, you can't let nobody talk you out of what God has talked you into. It ain't gonna make sense to everybody else. They may mean well. They may be looking out for you, but it ain't gonna make sense to them. When you know that God has given you this thing, you got to hold on to it and don't let nobody take you out of it. It was the only church we had standing. Me with all my good common sense. All the roofs were tore off my church. Birds flying around inside. My brother's church, under 9 feet of water, something crazy like that. This place was fine, too. Just couldn't get to it. Tore up stuff in the back and everything. Couldn't get to it. It was the only place we had access to. Because somebody made a decision based on what God said. And not what man suggested. How many of us in here today have allowed men to talk us out of what God talked us into? Shake your neighbor's hand and tell them, you gotta make better decisions. Did y'all get anything out of this morning? Standing to your feet.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.